Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Beautiful stuff there. We are joined by Pastor Manyuki on the line. Pastor, good afternoon to you.
Oh, good afternoon.
You well this afternoon?
No, I'm very fine. I'm very fine.
Good. Great.
I hope you are fine too.
I'm also good. Yes, I'm actually particularly excited because the Sabbath is upon us. We're literally at the threshold of the Sabbath and cannot help but be excited about it. Now, Pastor, we're looking at some of the heroes of faith in the Old Testament. I'm looking at it. Seems that quite a number of them had multiple wives and or concubines. So where do we stand on the issue of polygamy? Remember, we're talking about marriage in the family. We wanted to understand where we stand on the issue of polygamy. Furthermore, we want to speak of a divorce, and we know that it is not something that anyone wants. But in living in a sinful world, sometimes divorce is a reality if we don't want it to be. So these are the issues that we're going to be talking about. And by the end of the conversation, we should have at least understood. So, Pastor, as we start off, what is the Bible's stance on polygamy? Were there many polygamists in the Bible, including many faith heroes?
Well, thank you so much. That's a very, very tricky question, of course. But I think if you are to count the number of people who are polygamists in the Bible, the number is quite very well, considering, of course, that it's a very controversial subject, polygamy. Yeah, Well, there are quite a number of people who are polygamists in the Bible. I can mention the likes of David. It's quite a common name that comes to mind when you talk about polygamy. There's also Solomon, there is Gideon, there is also, I know you know Hannah's situation in 1 Samuel chapter 2, that she was also in a polygamous marriage. So there is really quite a number of polygamous marriages in the Bible.
So if there are such quite a number of polygamous, people in the Bible, why is the church against it?
Well, maybe so that we can be on the same page. In as much as there are polygamous people in the Bible, we must understand that the number of people who are not polygamous in the Bible, by far, bypasses the number of those who are polygamous. Now, so the question is, why is the church against polygamy? And I must underline that this is quite a very tough question because, even theologians are grappling on the same subject. But my study really, and of course the position of the church, talking specifically about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where this subject is also taking shape, many people really are trying to connect the dots and coming up with the view that polygamy is acceptable within the church. But of course, their voices are not very heard because it has not been made a policy, from that angle. But the Bible clearly says, well, let me take you back to the beginning again. Remember when you study the book of Matthew chapter 19, when Jesus was talking about marriage, given that question there, he rightfully tells the people that he was talking to that we have to go back to the beginning and see how it was done. So when you want to talk about an issue that is controversial, and then you find it maybe in the New Testament or maybe somewhere else in the Bible, or it happens even in our societies, not in the Bible specifically, it's good to see where the root is. And then when you find the root, it's easy to tell what the design was supposed to be. So when you go to the book of Genesis chapter 2, where marriage is initiated, the Bible makes it quite very clear that it seems to suggest that the intention of God was for a man and a woman to be in a marriage. It was never God's intention in the first place to have a woman marry more than one wife. And so the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, reading from verse 18 going downwards, and then specifically at verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his parents, of course, as we understand it to be today, and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I must underline, it is wife, not wives. And so people who followed the plan of God, even after the fall of man, would go back to the same principle of having one wife. You know, take, for example, Isaac had one wife. Abraham technically had one wife, but of course, he, you know, because of... because he didn't have a child, the wife suggested that he goes into Hagar, not to make Hagar his wife. It must be very clear. It was only for the purposes of procreation, and it was also lack of faith in God that resulted in such. So yes, go back to the beginning. God wanted men and women to maintain the monogamous relationship, which is what we uphold as a church. We are saying, let's go back to the beginning where God made an original plan.
Yeah, well, quite interesting, because while it is God's plan, as you're saying, when he created, the entry of sin then changes things around, and God actually works with what he has and accepts his people. Seems that in some cases even suggests that, especially, you know, to David, that man, if you wanted another one, I could have given it to you.
That's actually one of the verses people quote to suggest that God was in support of polygamy. But allow me to say, when you study the Bible, there are many methods of studying the Bible, and the text, you know, theologians normally divide Bible texts into descriptive texts and prescriptive texts. And I'll say descriptive texts of the Bible are those that, you know, just describe a situation as it is, telling it exactly as it is. Now, you know, we must thank God that the Bible doesn't, you know, cover what people did, which was not correct, so as to show us that God has mercy even for people who go against his original plan. So the descriptive part of the Bible, you know, describes what is there. For example, Abraham then married Hagar, you know, Jacob married Rachel, married Leah, married the ladies who were attending to his two wives, and you know, Solomon married so and so, you know, up to a very large number. Some say he had 1,000 women to his name, 1,000, massive 1,000. But there is no way among those texts, you know, including, of course, the one you just quoted, where God was saying, if you wanted one, I could have given you another one. There is no way in those texts where God prescribes for men, you know, that they should marry more than one wife. Now, so for example, the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, is called a prescriptive text, in the sense that it is more of a command, you know, what has to be done, and it affects humanity even today. But when it comes to polygamy, in as much as the Bible is silent on whether or not a man should marry more than one wife, it also does not have a clear command. You know, in fact, it does not even have a command, which is not clear for that matter, you know, on whether a man should marry one wife or not. But what we have for sure is that, you know, the Bible, you know, seems to be uplifting monogamous relationships. When you go back to the beginning, you know, it is quite clear that God made man and God made a woman, and that they should be one flesh. That is exactly what it is there. So surely we don't have a command, you know, we don't have anything. It's just describing what was happening during the time when the Jews were living, and recorded in the Bible, of course, for us to learn, you know, the advantages and the probably the disadvantages as well.
Yeah. Now, well, let's move to the next question, which is going to be quite interesting if we're going to look at it in light of the polygamy question. What does Scripture say about divorce?
Well, about divorce, I think it's quite clear that the Bible has a lot to say about divorce. Well, not many texts, of course, but very heavy texts. One of those that comes to mind is Malachi 2, verse 15, you know, quite commonly quoted by many theologians, many pastors, many evangelists around the world. And it says God hates divorce. You know, clearly God hates divorce. And you know, I keep telling people that if you find it in Malachi, and you don't find it in Matthew. It was said in Malachi. God does not need to repeat it. He is clear, and he says, I hate divorce. And God doesn't hate something and then later on begin to love it, as if, you know, his hating was not planned. So God hates divorce. And Jesus also talks about divorce in Matthew chapter 5. You know, he makes it very clear there that you divorce a woman on the basis of adultery. And then when you go back to the law, the books of Moses, you find it in Deuteronomy, Leviticus. They also talk about divorce at length. And but when you study those texts, you will notice that divorce was given as you know, one of the ways a man can treat a woman if he was not pleased with that particular lady. And the Bible makes it clear that it was because of the hardness of the heart of man. And even Jesus says it also, because, you know, you were very hard at heart, and so God allowed you to do it. Now, so number one, God hates divorce. But let's also understand, number two, that divorce comes as a result of the hardness of men. So many things we see today are as a result of, you know, the changing pattern in men. Men living the proper, you know, stage that God made him in, righteousness, you know, godliness, and of course being carnal. And then they are allowed to do some of these things we are talking about. But God didn't want people to divorce in the first place, which is why you find Adam and Eve were married for a very long time, but they never divorced. Only death did them part. So yes, God hates divorce very much.
It's quite intriguing that God does not spare us what he thinks about divorce. Very straightforward, very stern, and unequivocal about it. Yet he doesn't express himself as unequivocal and unequivocal about polygamy. Any particular reason?
I'm not sure if I had the question very correctly there, but I think I got a portion of it there. About divorce, well, the Bible is quite clear on divorce. I think that's what we're talking about here. But about polygamy, the Bible isn't very clear. And there is no command, you know, that is straightforward. We must be very honest, even as much as we are Adventist Bible scholars and stuff like that. We must be very clear that there is no Bible text that says you shall not do polygamy. But you look at it in this way, like I said here, there is also no command, you know, there is no a green light for people to marry more than one wife. But God presents the first marriage, which is going to be our test when it comes to all these things, as one husband and one wife. I think that has to be very clear there. Let's go back to the beginning. Now, what happened after Genesis chapter 3 is one way that God tells people that whatever happened after that wasn't his original plan. His original plan was Adam and Eve should, you know, procreate, and then every other example should be patterned against them. But the first person actually to do polygamy was not in the line of people who feared God. It was actually a man called Lamech. And who was Lamech? If you study very carefully, Genesis chapter 4, Lamech was actually, you know, a descendant of Cain. You know, who was Cain? Cain was somebody who represented the devil himself. In other words, Cain was not of God. He didn't fear God. So when you look at Abel, you look at Cain, you look at one representing God and the other one representing the devil himself. So no wonder we don't have a record of Seth, who is the replacement of Abel, marrying more than one wife. But we have Lamech representing Cain marrying more than one wife, and that led to murder. So now look at the way God presents the issue of polygamy in the Bible. It has got very negative effects. You know, let's take, for example, Lamech to commit murder, and then you look at David. His family was tumultuous, fighting all the time, no agreement, and even his son Absalom was running after his head and even killed his own brother, you know, for that matter. And you know what happened to the brother who had sex, I mean, raped, you know, let me say it better, that he raped his own sister. So in a polygamous marriage, really, there seemed to be no peace. Look at, you know, the bad circumstances of Samuel. There was no peace. These guys were fighting all the time. You know, Hannah was always on her knees praying because that other lady was always on her tail. So now, when God presents all those negative things about polygamy, it is a way of showing people that the original plan of God is what what works. So if you do otherwise, well, it's up to you, but you should know the repercussions are very serious. Really, God wants men to be happy, and one way to be happy is to be in a monogamous relationship, which is surrounded by the Holy Spirit, of course.
Interesting. Now, does God really expect us to remain in unhappy and sometimes abusive relationship simply because he says he hates divorce and also for the sake of till death do us part?
Well, that one is a very, very, very hard question, I must admit. May God help us to answer it in a way that doesn't kill marriages or people who are listening out there. But when you look at Matthew chapter 5, which is, you know, one text people use really to talk about this particular, you know, scenario we're talking about here, it says that divorce, Jesus seems to be suggesting, divorce is only on the grounds of adultery. Okay, on the grounds of adultery, divorce. And then the question is, what if my husband is abusing me? Should I divorce? Now, remember, Jesus did not say you must not divorce when a person is abusive. It's a very sensitive subject. And, you know, there's a part where Paul says, these are now my thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, these are now my thoughts, are not God's. Now, so these are now my thoughts after reading what I read and, of course, analyzing what I analyzed and, of course, asking God to help me understand. When a husband becomes too abusive, we pray for them, we do whatever we do for them, they do not change. We simply apply the rule, which is simple. You know, call somebody else and then call somebody else. If they fail to understand, then consider them a heathen. You know, because there are many women who have died as a result of trying to keep marriages, saying the only grounds for divorce is adultery. So I'm suggesting, of course, that, let's tread carefully. Carefully. After everything else has been done, you know, we pray for a person, we seek counseling from pastors, from, you know, psychologists, you know, whatever way we can. And then it does not work. The person keeps on repeating the same thing. It could be really a ground for divorce. And why are we divorcing? Remember, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. So if you, well, maybe let me take it this way here. God has told me something very important. Well, the Bible says in James chapter 2 that if a person commits adultery and does not kill, or maybe kills, does not commit adultery, he has broken all the commandments. So let's bring it here now. If a person kills a woman, a wife in a marriage, but doesn't commit adultery, which is quite rare to find an abuser who doesn't commit adultery, but if it ever does, this person has already broken the command, thou shalt not commit adultery. So I would say somebody who bashes a woman without any mercy shows clearly that they have no Jesus in their hearts, and therefore they are breaking all the commandments, including thou shalt not commit adultery. So therefore a lady has got the right to divorce such a man after all consideration has been taken, of course.
Well, our time is very limited and it's a big subject, but we're going to be leaving it there, Pastor. Now, marriage and the family is one of the beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The last word from you but to those who have been listening since Wednesday, what is it that we must take home in as far as this particular topic is concerned?
Well, to the listeners, I would say let's pray for our marriages. You know, God intended marriages to be very lovely, to be sweet, to be a heaven on earth where we can learn the love of Jesus. You know, where we learn that the church represents the bride of God, you know, Revelation 19, verse 7. And remember, one husband, one wife as a symbol of Jesus and his church. He doesn't have many wives, he's got one. So let us not kill that wonderful lesson that marriage has for us. And remember, God loves you. Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good it is when husband and wife, when brethren dwell together in unity. May God bless you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for your time. And you've given us a lovely discussion. I just wish we had more time. There's definitely much more to chew on here. But we will make space and time for another time for this particular discussion. But for today, we really do want to thank you so much. And quite a pleasure to have had this discussion with you. Blessings to you and happy Sabbath.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.